Well, as usual, the honours list was replete with scientists. University of Queensland Vice Chancellor Peter Hoy is an enologist, one of the most important research fields, the study of wine. And he got an AC, the top gong. Liz Dennis from CSIRO Plant Industry, also an AC. And she discovered the gene for flowering.
Well, we think to control the time of flowering has got obvious implications for horticulture. To perhaps spread out the time of flowering of the fruit crops, to try and put niche crops into particular environments. If we could make cotton flower earlier, perhaps we could extend the range of the cotton crop. If we can make wheat flower at particular times, perhaps we can get better yield or extend the range at which you can grow wheat.
You would get a bigger crop yield by manipulating the flowering.
Yes, we feel sure of that. But it may be, say, to avoid drought. If there was a bad drought, you could just rescue the plants that you had and make them flower and harvest it then, rather than drag out over the summer in the drought without being able to make any more sugar or make any more seed. Yeah.
Having talked on the grapevine or on the email about your results, what do you think the reaction is going to be as the potential?
Well, we think that it's terrifically important. This is one of the major genes that controls flowering. It's a gene that is sort of the natural gene. It isn't a mutant. It's a gene that seems to be responsible for the big variation in flowering time that you get between plants that grow in high latitudes up in Sweden, for example, and plants that grow in the Mediterranean. And it looks as though that it's the same gene that's going to be important in the brassicas, the oilseed rapes, canolas. So we think it's going to make a terrific impact on people who are interested in the mechanism of flowering and also those who might want to manipulate flowering for agricultural purposes.
Liz Dennis, now an AC, CSIRO in Canberra. And the flowering gene is set off in advance by cold winters. So will it now be affected by climate change? Hugely significant work. Our congratulations. Meanwhile, Professor Mark Dodgson from the University of Queensland is a professor of innovation and he received an AO. This is from a science show a while ago.
We can be wonderfully innovative in Australia. When we get up in the morning, we might use our dual flush toilet, have a breakfast of Vegemite and an Aspro to overcome the hangover we got from drinking the wine cask the previous night, clean our shoes with kiwi polish, go for a swim in our Speedos, find our way using Google Maps on Wi-Fi, make our tea using Zip instant hot water, do some woodworking on our Triton workbench and some gardening with Dynamic Lifter and a two-stroke lawnmower bought with polymer banknotes. In so doing, we are immersed in Australian product innovations. When we add some of the organisational innovations in the public sector, such as the Flying Doctor Service or surf clubs or the Higher Education Contribution Scheme, or service innovations such as Macquarie Bank's funding of infrastructure, then we have much of which we can be proud. My point is we can do better and we need to do better. All the world's economies are becoming more knowledge intensive. That is, the value they create is produced by knowledge rather than investment in factories and equipment. And innovation is what derives economic and social value from that knowledge.
Professor Mark Dodgson, AO, congratulations to you. And another of our scientific winners of awards on Australia Day was Andy Pittman from the University of New South Wales and the Centre of Excellence for Climate Research.
Whether it's the climate science itself or our oceanography, our ice cores, physics, chemistry, biology, ecology, species diversity, genetics, distribution of plants and animals, all of these give us multiple lines of evidence in support of climate change. It's no longer possible to understand climate change from an insular or single discipline perspective. We have made huge efforts to communicate effectively with the general community, but it is difficult because the language of understanding climate science is now very complex and very challenging and takes decades of effort to be familiar with. And it's hard to communicate that to the public. We try, but there is an ongoing and sustained effort to properly and professionally communicate climate science to the public.
Professor Andy Pittman from the University of New South Wales Centre of Excellence was awarded an AO last Saturday for leading our research on climate change. And another Science Show regular, Len Fisher, was awarded an AOM. Congratulations to you.